Chatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Chatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling, well, a giant. Albert Einstein's theories of relativity. These are the ideas that really changed everything we thought we knew about the universe. And to help us navigate this, we're leaning on the work of physicist Russell Stannard. He had this incredible knack for making seriously complex stuff understandable.
Yeah, it's absolutely fundamental to modern science. And our goal today really is to get beyond just saying, oh, everything's relative, and actually dig into the nuts and bolts. You know, why does time slow down when you move? How does gravity actually work?
Exactly. Because this isn't some dusty old theory. It's like baked into everything now. Nuclear power, understanding black holes, even making sure your phone's GPS doesn't send you miles off course. It really forces you to ditch that old common sense picture of reality we got from Isaac Newton.
Stannard really helps with that. He guides you through letting go of those deep-seated ideas about, like, absolute time and absolute space. But what you gain in return is this appreciation for a universe that's, well, it's way more elegant and interconnected and, frankly, stranger than you probably imagined. And Russell Stannard, he's the perfect guide for this. He was an emeritus professor of physics at the Open University in the UK. But his background, you know, it wasn't just academic. He did serious research in high-energy particle physics, worked at places like CERN. He was really at the cutting edge.
Right. So he definitely knew his stuff, the deep theory, the experiments, all of it. But what makes him so good for us for this kind of deep dive is how committed he was to explaining it. He wasn't just publishing papers for other physicists.
Oh, absolutely not. He took all that knowledge and really focused on teaching and communicating. He won awards for making physics accessible. You might even know his Uncle Albert series. He used these, like, fun stories and really simple analogies to get kids thinking about relativity.
That's exactly what you want, isn't it? Someone who understands it deeply, but can also find those perfect analogies, those thought experiments, like the light clock or that elevator idea, to simplify without losing the core truth.
Yeah.
He really connects the dots between the, you know, the high-level equations and just being curious about how things work. Okay, so let's dive into the big problem Einstein was trying to solve. Stannard lays it out really clearly. Relativity basically upended Newton's world, where space and time were just separate, fixed things, like a stage.
Yeah, that Newtonian view was the standard for centuries. But it ran into a huge roadblock with Maxwell's work on electromagnetism in the late 1800s. Maxwell's equations showed something really weird. The speed of light, C, is always the same, constant, no matter what.
And that just didn't fit, did it? I mean, intuitively, if I'm on a train and throw a ball forward, its speed adds to the train's speed, right?
Yeah, that's Newton. That's common sense.
But Maxwell, and later Einstein, said if I'm on a spaceship going super fast and turn on a light, both I and someone watching from Earth measure that light moving at the exact same speed. See how?
That's the paradox. It breaks our everyday logic. Einstein's genius was realizing, well, if the speed of light has to be constant for everyone, then something else must be flexible, and that's something else. It had to be space and time themselves. They couldn't be absolute if C was absolute.
So special relativity is basically the logical fallout from accepting that one constant speed.
Pretty much, yeah. It's where you end up if you follow that one rule rigorously.
Okay, so special relativity first.
Yeah.
This deals with things moving at a steady speed, no acceleration. Stannard boils it down to two main postulates. The first one sounds, well, pretty reasonable. The laws of physics are the same for everyone moving uniformly.
Right. That's kind of an extension of Galileo's old idea, but it's the second one that causes all the fireworks. The speed of light in a vacuum, C, is constant for all observers, no matter how they're moving or where the light came from. That's the radical bit.
And that's what forces us to rethink everything about time. The idea that now isn't the same now for everyone, that still feels weird.
It is weird. It completely clashes with our intuition. Stannard explains this with the relativity of simultaneity. Think about his train example. Imagine a long train speeding along, and lightning hits the very front and the very back of the train at exactly the same instant, according to someone sitting right in the middle of that train.
Okay, makes sense for the person on the train.
Yeah.
They see both flashes arrive at the same time.
But now think about someone standing still on the platform watching the train go by.
Ah, okay. The train is moving forward.
Right. So the light flash from the back of the train has less distance to cover to reach the platform observer, because the observer is sort of moving towards that point in space where the flash originated relative to the train's motion. And the light from the front has further to travel to catch up to the platform observer.
So the person on the platform sees the back strike happen before the front strike.
Exactly. The two events are simultaneous for the train passenger, but not simultaneous for the platform observer. There's no universal now. It depends on your motion.
Wow. Okay, that's a big one. And if simultaneity breaks down, does that mean time itself can stretch or shrink?
Yeah.
This is time dilation, right?
Precisely. If now is relative, then the duration between events must also be relative. Einstein used a brilliant thought experiment, the light clock. Imagine a clock made of two mirrors and a pulse of light bouncing between them. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Simple.
Got it.
Now, imagine you're watching that clock fly past you at a very high speed. From your perspective, that light pulse isn't just going straight up and down anymore.
Because the clock is moving sideways while the light travels.
Yeah.
So the light has to take a diagonal path.
A longer path.
Exactly. A longer diagonal path between the mirrors. And here's the key. The speed of light, see, must be constant for you, the stationary observer.
So if the light travels a longer distance, but its speed is fixed, it must take more time to make the trip. Yes. Which means, from your perspective, the moving clock is ticking slower. Time itself is running slower for the moving clock. Time dilates.
That's incredible. It's not just an illusion.
No, it's real. Astronauts on the ISS experience it. GPS satellites have to account for it. And there's a related effect, length contraction, where moving objects appear shorter in their direction of motion. Space and time stretch and shrink together to keep C constant. And thinking about things moving faster leads to another consequence. There's a universal speed limit, C. As you try to accelerate an object with mass closer and closer to the speed of light, something strange happens. Its measured mass starts to increase dramatically from the perspective of someone watching it.
Wait, its mass increases? Why? If I push it harder, shouldn't it just go faster?
You'd think so, but because it can never actually reach C, the energy you're pumping into it by pushing it has to go somewhere. Since that energy can't keep increasing the velocity indefinitely, it gets converted into, well, into mass.
The energy becomes mass? Is that where AC on it comes from?
That's exactly it. It's the logical conclusion. EMC2SO2 is the statement that energy and mass M are fundamentally the same thing, interchangeable. And the exchange rate is governed by 2 × 10⁻¹⁰ the speed of light squared, which is a huge number.
Like ridiculously huge.
Colossal. So converting even a tiny, tiny amount of mass releases an enormous amount of energy. That's the power source of stars. It's the principle behind nuclear reactors and nuclear weapons.
Mind blown. So all this warping time slowing down, length contracting, mass increasing, energy and mass being interchangeable, it paints a very different picture of reality. This led Einstein's former teacher, Minkowski, to propose the idea of space-time, didn't it?
Yes, a crucial conceptual leap. Standard really emphasizes this. Space and time aren't separate arenas. They're interwoven into one single dynamic four-dimensional fabric. Space-time. Think of it like this. We're all constantly moving through this 4D space-time. When you move faster through space, you necessarily move slower through time and vice versa. Different observers moving relative to each other are essentially just cutting through that 4D reality at different angles, leading to their different measurements of space and time. But the underlying space-time reality is the same for everyone.
Okay, wow. That covers special relativity, constant velocity. But the real world has acceleration and, crucially, gravity. That required another leap, right? General relativity.
It did. And it started with what Einstein called his happiest thought, the principle of equivalence.
The elevator thought experiment.
That's the one. Imagine you're in a sealed box, no windows, you feel a force pulling you down. Is it gravity because you're on Earth? Or is the box accelerating upwards in deep space, pushing the floor into your feet? Einstein realized, locally, you absolutely cannot tell the difference. The physical effects are identical.
Acceleration feels just like gravity.
Locally, yes, and that equivalence was the key. It suggested that gravity wasn't a force pulling things across space, like Newton thought. Instead, gravity is the curvature of space-time itself.
Okay, the rubber sheet analogy time.
Exactly, it's the classic one Standard uses. Imagine space-time is a stretched rubber sheet. Place a heavy object, like a bowling ball, the sun, onto it.
It creates a dip, a curve in the sheet.
Right. Now roll a smaller marble, the Earth, nearby. It doesn't get pulled by the bowling ball directly. It simply follows the curve the distortion in the sheet caused by the bowling ball's mass.
So planets orbit the Sun because they're following the straightest possible path through the curved space-time created by the Sun's mass.
Precisely. Mass and energy tell space-time how to curve, and the curvature of space-time tells matter and energy how to move. It's geometry, not a force.
And this wasn't just a neat idea. It made predictions that could be tested.
Big time. It perfectly explained tiny anomalies in Mercury's orbit that Newtonian gravity couldn't. And the most famous test was the 1919 Eddington expedition during a solar eclipse.
They measured starlight bending around the Sun.
They did. Einstein predicted that the Sun's mass would curve space-time enough to bend the light from distant stars passing nearby. Eddington's measurements confirmed it exactly. It was huge proof that gravity really is geometry.
So looking back at Stannard's explanation, what are the really big takeaways? For me, theme one has to be how relativity just completely overturns common sense. Our intuition about time being absolute, space being fixed, it's just plain wrong on the grand scale.
Yeah.
It really makes you question your own perceptions.
Definitely. It's a lesson in intellectual humility, isn't it? The universe operates by rules that aren't immediately obvious to our everyday experience. We need maths, we need experiments to uncover that deeper reality.
And theme two, I think, is the incredible unity of concepts. Relativity didn't just add complexity. In a way, it simplified things.
That's a great point. It showed deep connections between things we thought were totally separate. Space and time become space-time. Mass and energy become interchangeable via EMCOAC. Gravity and acceleration are linked by equivalence. It reveals this underlying unity.
Yeah, a more coherent picture. And theme three has to be the solid experimental foundation, despite how abstract and frankly weird it sounds.
It's incredibly well tested. From particle accelerators confirming time dilation and mass increase, to the everyday reality of GPS corrections, to observations of gravitational lensing across the cosmos. Relativity's predictions have been confirmed again and again with amazing precision. It works.
Stannard was so good at capturing the essence in memorable phrases, too.
He really was, like hammering home that central pillar. The speed of light in a vacuum is the same for all observers. This is the immovable rock upon which the entire theory of relativity is built. Everything flows from accepting that one fact.
And the shift in thinking about gravity. Gravity is not a force pulling objects across space. It is the curvature of space-time itself, a curvature created by the presence of mass and energy. That sums up general relativity beautifully.
And the overall picture. Space and time are not absolute realities, but are intricately woven together into a single fabric space-time. That four-dimensional reality concept. Now let's talk practical applications, because it doesn't get more practical than GPS, which you mentioned earlier. It simply wouldn't work without relativity.
Right, because the clocks on the GPS satellites are affected in two different ways.
Exactly. First, special relativity. The satellites are moving very fast relative to us on Earth, so their clocks tick slightly slower than ours.
Okay, time dilation due to speed.
But then general relativity. The satellites are orbiting high above Earth in a weaker gravitational field than we experience down here. And gravity affects time, too. Weaker gravity means clocks tick slightly faster.
Ah, so one effect slows the clocks, the other speeds them up. Which one wins?
The general relativity effect, the speeding up due to weaker gravity, is actually stronger in this case. The net result is that the satellite clocks run faster than ground clocks by about 38 microseconds per day.
Doesn't sound like much.
Doesn't sound like much, but light travels incredibly fast. If engineers didn't constantly correct for that 38 microsecond difference, your GPS position would drift off by about 10 kilometers.
Every single day.
Every single day. The whole system would be useless within hours. So anyone using GPS is using Einstein's relativity, whether they know it or not.
That's fantastic proof. And then there are the huge cosmological applications, right?
Absolutely. General relativity is the framework we use to understand the expansion of the universe, the Big Bang, the existence and behavior of black holes where space-time curvature becomes infinitely strong, and things like gravitational lensing, where the gravity of massive galaxy clusters bends light from objects behind them, acting like giant natural telescopes. We see these effects.
For me, the most surprising thing revisiting this with Stannard's clarity is still that relativity of simultaneity. The idea that my now is just my now and someone moving differently has a legitimately different now that just fundamentally shakes up how you think about, well, everything.
It really does instill a sense of wonder, doesn't it? Standard helps show that the universe, while maybe counterintuitive, is deeply logical and elegant underneath. And it's amazing that we, as humans, can figure this stuff out by trusting logic and observation over just gut feeling.
So relativity was this massive revolution, but it's not the final word, is it?
No, the revolution is ongoing. Relativity describes gravity and the large-scale universe incredibly well, but it doesn't mesh with quantum mechanics, our theory of the very small particles, forces at the subatomic level. They speak different languages, mathematically. The biggest challenge in physics today is finding a unified theory, often called quantum gravity or a theory of everything, that can bridge that gap.
So the provocative thought for you listening is, relativity forced us to abandon absolute space and time. What currently unquestioned aspect of reality might the next big revolution force us to give up to understand things like dark matter, dark energy, or quantum gravity? What deeper, stranger structure is still waiting to be uncovered? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accotra Foundation.